Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is meditation. And today we have a gift for you, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But let's give some credit to the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, Alice Bailey. And most of the dialogue that you hear in this show has been inspired by the works of Alice Bailey, who wrote 24 volumes of literature, and also the following thought comes from the works of Alice Bailey. The basic objective of meditation is to enable an individual to become, in outer manifestation, what he or she is in inner reality. There seems to be a growing interest in meditation, but also a lot of misunderstanding about it. Why do you think that is?
I think there are many reasons for that. One of them might have to do with the nature of the times we live in. The present world is both materialistic in its orientation, certainly in Western society, and at the same time a very spiritual questing time for many people. And I think the modern approach to meditation reflects this mixture of the spiritual and the material. It used to be that meditation was thought of in a religious context as similar to prayer, which it is somewhat, but now the modern interpretation of meditation is much more self-focused in the way it's presented in a mass kind of way. For example, recently there was a cover story in Time magazine on meditation, and it reflected the usual emphasis on meditation as a technique for health and for relaxation, for stress reduction and so on. Those are worthy goals, but those are only effects of meditation and really quite superficial in terms of the real spiritual underpinnings and the spiritual potential of meditation. In a lot of people's minds, meditation is also associated with psychic development, I think, psychic contacts, the expectation that one will come in touch with beings or with forces or messages from above or from somewhere outside one's own mind and will. So in our present time, meditation has taken on a kind of a spooky or sometimes flaky connotation, or else it's seen as something very self-focused and kind of self-indulgent.
Yes, that's one of the drawbacks of the present-day conceptions of meditation. I think it's perhaps it does more harm than good because it doesn't really give the full extent of what meditation is or what's possible through the practices of meditation. There are just so many blind alleys that one can follow, and you're not really getting to the nub or to the real objective of what meditation can do for an individual.
There are, we should say, also many different techniques or methods of meditation, and they have different objectives, but the real nature of meditation is a scientific process. That might surprise people who think it's kind of freewheeling and free-form in its process, but in fact it's a scientific method for expanding the consciousness, leading as an outcome to service. It enables one to be of greater and more effective service. It's difficult to explain, but essentially meditation is a means of self-discovery, which is implied in our opening thought. Alice Bailey said the basic objective of meditation is to enable an individual to become in outer manifestation what he or she is in inner reality. And I like that definition of meditation because it's a process of discovering who we really are, and through that discovery of realizing or awakening to where we fit in God's plan. We all have a part to play. We all have a place and a role within the great plan for our world. Maybe a good image, a visual image for people, is to think of those Russian dolls. If you've ever seen them, they're carved out of wood. And when you open them up, they usually split in two, and within the doll is another doll. And then you open that one up, and within that doll is yet another doll, each smaller and smaller. And you can go on and on discovering these dolls within dolls within dolls. And I think that's the effect of meditation in terms of discovering who we really are, layer upon layer of what we think is ourself is peeled away. And we begin to realize that the person we thought we were is only a tiny, tiny doll buried deep within the larger and larger dolls, which symbolize expansive realms of being. So meditation takes us from the separated identity as a personality, a unique, irreplaceable individual, unlike any other, to the growing realization that although we are each unique, we are part of a group, a family unit, a national unit, a cultural unit, whatever we identify with, we can identify with many groups. And this expanding understanding becomes more and more inclusive of humanity and of the planet until we realize that we are part of God, of the one in whom we live and move and have our being.
Yes, the inner reality, it's been described as simply a point of light. Actually, it's a point of brilliant, concentrated light. It's like a tiny atom, you might say. And that is essentially what we are as human beings. But at that point, we emerge into a greater world of universality and light. And so the stripping away of all of these outer veils is what the process of meditation brings about. And as one definition of meditation is said, that it's a person reaches the glory of the unveiled self by the process of rejecting form after form. So it's a matter of detaching all of these forms or the dolls that you mentioned. You give them up and you keep discovering something deeper and deeper.
So it's a process of disidentification, I suppose you could say. You realize, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not the roles I play, I'm not in my essence a mother or a wife or a worker or a female or male or an American or a Nigerian or a Hindu or whatever. All of the different roles and garbs are not who we really are, and you peel those away one by one and we're left with what? Nothing? No,
you're left with the original self, the greater, the higher, the inner self. And that's the point of light that
or consciousness,
is,
we could say.
It's the originating point as far as each human being is concerned.
Another definition of meditation is that it's an attitude of quiet reflection. Quiet reflection. While we go about our normal day, we talk, we work, we act, we move, we relate to people, we respond to what they say, we think on a level that's usually very exterior-oriented. In other words, what we're thinking is not so deep or subjective. It's oriented towards solving problems on an outer level or answering questions that have to do with the outer form level. So all of that activity keeps us from really relating to our inner life. We are relating outwardly to the world around us in our daily life. When we meditate, we reverse that flow of energy because we establish the silence that enables us to confront our inner life, to look within and to see what's there. It's a redirection of the energy of our attention. If you think of our attention as a flow of arrows, the arrows are always going outward in the objective outer life. But when you meditate, you're bringing that energy, redirecting it inward. It's not as selfish as it sounds. It shouldn't be seen as self-indulgent, as an opportunity to reflect on the glorious wonder of me. It's not that. What happens in that silence is, as we've said, that you reflect and become aware of a state of being which is, in time, with successful meditation, universal, a universal awareness. You find that you are sharing a state of consciousness and of being with all human beings. So it isn't as self-oriented as it might sound.
It's a different kind of self. The self that one encounters within is the greater self. It's often spelled with a capital S, and whereas the little selfish self or the little ego is with a small s, a lowercase. And this is the whole real purpose of meditation, is to enable one to reach back deep within oneself and discover who you truly are, that impersonal, unselfish, universal consciousness that is the higher and deeper self.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is meditation, and I mentioned earlier that we have a gift for you today, and all you have to do is call us on our toll-free number. Ask for the pamphlet that we have for you called The Science of Meditation. And reading that will help you to explore this topic about meditation in greater depth, and perhaps you can find it as a useful tool to your own evolvement and consciousness. Once again, the title of it is title of the pamphlet, Ask for the Science of Meditation. Give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. Just call us up, ask for it, and we'll be happy to send it out to you for the asking. An easy way to remember the number, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Our website, www.lucistrust.org. And we need your help. All the work of the Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor. I wish we did. If there's anyone out there who qualifies and you want to be one, well, we're here for you. But the small donations are appreciated also, because they're all used to keep us on the air. We depend on the donations, both large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, that's L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And do call up, ask for that pamphlet, The Science of Meditation. We'll send it out to you free of charge. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. We want to get back to meditation, and Sarah, we have much more to say on that.
Let's see, where were we? We were talking about definitions of meditation, I think.
Yeah, I found it intriguing because somebody, it's been so useful to myself, but how would you define it?
Well, there's another definition that I like that comes from the writings of Alice Bailey. It says that meditation is the mind's power to hold itself in the light, and in that light to become aware of the divine plan, thus bringing through the needed ideas that will enable the plan of God to work out on earth. I find that thought challenging, perhaps overwhelming. On an individual level, of course, it's overwhelming, but when we think about meditating as part of a worldwide group of meditators, people who are thinking along the same lines, endeavoring to hold their minds in the light of soul awareness and to become aware of God's intention for our world and to bring through the needed ideas that will bring about the restructuring of the world. When you realize that's a shared service, then you find, well, I can take a part in that. I can help. I can participate and try to make my mind available for something other than my totally self-focused usual orientation. And when you start meditating in that way, it opens up something in you. It releases something from the usual self-reference.
I think that's the important point, that meditation is a service, and it can be used as a service, not a selfish service to serve me or to serve my desires and my wants. It is a service that is used for the benefit of humanity, because meditation involves the channeling and the manipulation and the transmission and distribution of energy. And it's the energies of the soul, that deep inner self that we bring through into the outer world, that performs the service.
I think it would be nice if Sarah brings us through a guided meditation, especially for people who are new to meditation. But once again, I'd like to mention that number, because a lot of people might be interested in the gift, a pamphlet called The Science of Meditation. Once again, if you want that gift, just give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, 1-866-695-8247. And also, if you'd like to have a tape of this meditation for a nominal fee, we'll do that. But let's start on the guided meditation. I'm looking forward to it.
It's a simple type of meditation called Raja Yoga, which we've described before. It's the use of the mind in service through meditation. You begin by finding a time and a place where you can meditate without being interrupted or disturbed or distracted. Most people find that early in the morning, as early as possible after waking up, is the best time, because then the mind is not yet preoccupied by the events of the day. It's probably at its freest, most lucid state very early in the morning. And also the airwaves in general are more uncluttered. The day is just beginning for everyone, and so that's usually the best time to meditate. You sit in a straight-backed chair with your spine erect. Don't meditate when you're lying down, if you can possibly help it, unless you're bedridden. You should be sitting up with the spine erect. It's not necessary to sit in a cross-legged or lotus position, unless that is really customary for you and you're comfortable with it. Sitting in a chair with a nice, firm, straight back is fine. You fold your hands, one on top of the other in your lap. You cross your feet at the ankles, and then you forget about your body. Take a few slow, deep breaths to begin with. Not a bellows breath kind of thing. Just natural, slow, deep breaths to relax the chest and abdomen area and to empty out of your mind any particular personal thoughts and concerns. Tell them just to wait a while, that you're busy and you'll come back to them later, but right now you need to be free to meditate. Just make them wait at the door. And then you lift your consciousness using your creative imagination to a point or a focus outside and above the top of the head. Don't focus in your head, you'll give yourself a headache. focus above and away from the top of your head, a few inches above your cranium. That point of focus is the analytical or reasoning mind, but see it as a pond on a summer day, undisturbed by breezes or children or ducks, perfectly still and calm. That's your lower mind. And from that still, lucid lake, project a line of lighted light energy towards the soul, seeing the soul as a brilliant sun, a source of energy. That is your real, true spiritual self. And then you extend that line or lighted path still higher towards the higher or abstract mind, which is the lowest aspect of the divine self. And you hold that lighted alignment in your imagination using your visualization capacity just for a few moments. Don't strain at it. Then you pause for a moment of interlude, being aware of the light and of the energy of the soul. And as you hold your mind steady in that light, calm and steady and unwavering, meditate on a seed thought of your choice from some spiritual reading that you've been doing. One example might be the thought, "Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events, and bring to light the love that underlies the happenings of the time." You develop your understanding of your seed thought according to your experience and your comprehension. Using your creative imagination, you think about and develop your understanding of that idea that you've chosen for perhaps 4 or 5 minutes. Then you visualize the flow of the energy that you have generated in your meditation on the seed thought as descending and permeating throughout the various realms of our planetary life, from the human to the animal, vegetable, and mineral realms, all of the planetary life being permeated by this descending spiritual energy. Following that, you reflect for a few minutes on the ways and the means that the energies of light and love are working out in human life throughout the world. Here you can be practical and systematic in your understanding of how light and love are actually working out in our planetary experience. And this is a place where you can really call upon your awareness of the world and your understanding and your experience as a human being, as a part of the human drama, because it's a chance to create an effective and yet creative, imaginative picture of the possibilities for our world. Meditation is a means by which we can help to build the world we choose for our children who will follow us. It's a very creative type of service. And finally, we sound the great invocation, visualizing light and love and power, irradiating human consciousness as much as possible, seeing those energies pouring throughout the world and touching all receptive human minds and hearts. And the great invocation is always the world prayer that we close our program with each time. So perhaps being familiar with that invocation, people will want to say it along with me as we close, or at least listen and imagine the energies of light and love and power pouring throughout the world. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.